Hey, this is Ruben, just letting you know that you can check out two of my other podcasts, Chismology Anthology, which is an interview podcast, and a spoilers podcast, which is a media criticism podcast, by following the links in the bio. The next episode of Chismology Anthology will be an interview with Michael Paramo, the creator of The Asexual Journal. And the next episode of the Spoilers podcast will be an episode covering the movie Parasite. So yeah, check those out if you're into that. Before we begin, I would like to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons. This show wouldn't be possible without you. So if you want to contribute to all the labor that goes into creating this show and all the costs that go into keeping this show on all platforms, feel free to support us over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. You can also follow the link in the description. I do want to give a very special shout out though to Jen A, Abigail D, Aranya, Kimberly B, Adri, Cassandra G, Linda M, Daniel V, Evelyn, Jerry R, Alana F, and Ronnie L. Without y'all's support, like, we really wouldn't be able to do this. So thank y'all so much for supporting us, and I hope you like the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. I'm your host Cassandra.
And I'm Ruben.
¿Cómo estás
el día de hoy? Muy bien, comadre. Aquí nomás calentando las tortillas, esperando a mi jefe que venga.
¿Ya te puedes casar? ¿O ya estás casado?
¿Ya estás casado? Yo soy house husband.
Marido de casa.
Yeah.
How was your birthday?
It was two-turn.
Two-turn? Yeah. Two-turn. Oh.
Two-turn.
What did you do?
We went on a day-long adventure throughout LA. My friends and I, it just has happened that we get two-turn for my birthday for like 12 hours straight. And this has been going on since we've known each other. So like 5-6 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm always like, let's have a nice little brunch. And then brunch just turns into like us exploring whatever town we're in. It's funny.
That's cute, yeah. Though. And you are how old now?
Weep old.
Me too. Me too.
I am 31. Oh my God. I know. Some bartender didn't believe me, so that was cool, I guess. But also, I feel like I've looked 30 all my life.
Like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Well, you look super goth right now.
Thanks. It's because it's dark in here.
It's the eyeliner.
I don't even have eyeliner. It's just I'm sick. How have you been?
I've been okay. I was just thinking about how at our check-in, so I'm like, nothing. The same. Like, that's like when you start working like a full-time job, you don't have a life. That's how I feel. But,
oh, I got a part-time gig.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a part-time 3-month gig. So let's see how it goes.
Why 3 months? Like a trial?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks, but...
They don't want to give me benefits.
For what?
They don't want to give me benefits.
Well, that's very exciting. Very happy for you. You throw your Latinx community out there.
I will. And by out there, I mean under the bus for money.
Walking in J-Lo's footsteps.
TBH, she's my inspiration. Ella es mi inspiración. Estoy muy excited.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, we've been wanting to have this conversation or episode or I don't know what, because I feel like... As we've mentioned, it's election year, but a lot of electoral things are happening, and they've been happening especially within the last month, and so we've been wanting to touch on them, but, you know, we recorded other topics that have come up, but this episode will be specifically about electoral politics, everybody's favorite topic. Starting with the, what should we call it? The non-impeachment of Donald Trump?
The non-impeachment of Donald Trump.
So that happened, like a month ago now? 4 weeks, three weeks ago? Yeah, probably. So it's been, who is shocked? Who is shocked that Donald Trump was not impeached?
Oh my God, you know what's funny? Is that it hasn't even been a month. It just feels like a month. Because when we recorded our last episode on Super Bowl Sunday, it still hadn't happened.
Oh, that is right. We're like, oh, well, we should wait.
It just feels...
Yes.
Forever.
It's like it never happened. It's
been 2 weeks.
Like, the whole theatrics of it all, like, it just... For what? Like, it... Like, no one is surprised. We are not surprised. I'm not surprised. But I just, like... We could have just skipped all that, you know? We could have just... Why even try to impeach when... just a waste. Just a fucking waste.
It was honestly so a lot of these, like, folks in Congress can, like, win back their seat. Essentially being like, look, we tried to do something. But it's like, no. Like, this didn't... Like, nothing happened.
Yeah, and it's like, you... This is... We're in year four. Like you... You know, Ruben, how you had mentioned in one of our episodes, like, ya pa que? Like, what? Because even if he, let's say he would have gotten impeached, that doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically removed from office. And even if it was, it's like, he already caused so much damage and so much harm to so many, like, marginalized communities and so many people that wouldn't have it wouldn't have meant shit, you know? That, like, this is something that you all should have done from the beginning. But no, like, the whole course of this 4 years, I think at the beginning, a lot of liberals and Democrats and everyone's like, let's just give him a chance. Like, I saw a lot of that, those conversations, let's just give him a chance and let him prove himself and he might prove us wrong. And then it shifted to just seeing how much more he could do. And then it's like, there was no limit of what, like, people were, you know, and not everyone, obviously, because... People on the ground, people affected by the policies, like, of course, are on the ground organizing and fighting back. But I'm talking about, like, particularly politicians that just were, let's work together with the Republicans. And it's just, like, the minimum, which brings us to fucking Pelosi. That the state of the...
Ugh, the queen of, like... The queen of doing nothing.
The queen of doing nothing and being praised for it. So, yes. State of the Union happened, and I didn't watch it, but obviously the whole thing was, the moment was that after Trump's little speech or whatever, Pelosi was behind him on camera, and she ripped up his speech. And everyone shared it, and it was this thing of, like, my queen, and oh, she's so petty, and... You know, praising her, like, what did she do that one time? Oh, like, when she clapped at him, like, a few months ago. And that went viral just because she was sarcastically clapping at him. I don't know. But it's just, like I said, like, theatrics. Like, what, why are we praising you for tearing up the speech? Like, what does that do? What does that mean? After you... haven't done shit again for 4 years, but you tearing up the speech is supposed to make me feel good, like you resisted somehow, like you changed something, like you stood up to the administration. Like, I, like, people are just so content with the bare minimum.
That's because people have, like, no politic. Like, I hate to say it, but people don't have an actual political compass. They just think, like, I am a registered Democrat. I vote. That is my activism. That is my involvement with politics. Yay me. Right? They don't have any, like, actual analysis of, like, how people in politics affect us. You know, like, what, you know, their voting record is. How it's... How... What the difference is between their public persona and their, you know, their... And the incongruencies between that and their voting record... Right, so they just see these gestures and they think it's a big deal, right? So, you know, they see Nancy Pelosi tearing up his speech and they're like, yes, queen! Meanwhile, because nobody's involved enough to, like, give a shit, they ignore the fact that, you know, she signed his, like, military budget. You know, she's basically let Trump steamroll, like, for the fucking government for 4 fucking years, right? And so, it's just, it makes me angry because you have, like, you know, was it Remezcla or, like, some other, it was, like, you saw this big, like, Latinx meme going around, and it was, like, Nancy Pelosi, like, ripping up the speech, and then Daddy Yankee's Rompe playing in the background, and everybody was, like, yes, Reina, like, Latina queen, and I'm, like, shut the fuck up. Like, read a little bit.
I didn't even see
please.
That.
Please. You're embarrassing yourself. No, girl.
I did not see that, and it sounds terrible.
It was terrible, and it went viral, and it's so embarrassing. Like, as, because, like, at the end of the day, like, nobody, unfortunately, sees Latinx as, like, an actual, like, political force. And it's because stupid shit like that. Because we just, like, give into liberalism and we think that's somehow progressive. Or we give into assimilation and think that whiteness is going to welcome us with open arms, right? And we become conservatives. Like, there's such, like, a very low, like, popular consciousness, right, for Latinxes, that we fall for everything, right? Of course, it does not to diminish, it's not saying, like, all Latinxes, but, like, even fellow organizers that are listening to it, to us right now, it's, like, how hard is it to speak to our community sometimes about shit? And it can be really fucking hard, like, as organizers, as folks who are radical, and that's because a lot of us are just, like, we want to assimilate so bad that we take any little fucking bits we can get. And that manifested with this Nancy Pelosi, like, nothingness performance that she did.
But it's always white women, like, white liberal women that are being praised again for doing the bare minimum, right? And this, I mean, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, for example, right? She's a, like, let's jump into Hillary Clinton for a second. Hillary Clinton, I think we talked about her all year when she when she was running against Trump. We've already talked about how terrible she is, but she made her way back into the spotlight to just shit on Bernie Sanders and say, what did she say, that nobody liked him? Or I'm like, are we 12? Like,
yeah, she's like, nobody likes you and your friends, the Bernie bros. I'm like,
like, who are you? Why, what? Are you here?
And who are the Bernie bros? Like, Chapo Trap House? Fuck them bitches. Like, whooms.
Give me names, so she names, comes back bitch. Out of nowhere and says this about Bernie Sanders. And then I think a few days later, I don't know if it was at an event or, well, yes, it was an event. I'm not sure what kind. But we had Rashida Tlaib say, the host of the, I'm assuming it's like a forum, asked her if, what she thought about Hillary Clinton and what she had said about Bernie Sanders, if I'm not mistaken, and she started booing her. So people start booing, and then, you know, the host is like, no, you know, we're not going to do that here. And Rashida's like, no, yes, we are going to do it here. Boo, boo. And it's like the funniest thing ever. But that got shared by Democrats, by liberals, by conservatives even, all attacking Rashida and saying, kind of just attacking her for, like, booing Hillary Clinton. And it's like, why wouldn't she boo Hillary Clinton? Why would people be upset at Hillary Clinton being booed after everything that she's done? Especially, Rashida's Palestinian, so why wouldn't she boo her? Like, but aside from that, like, it was this whole, like, this thing that Democrats and liberals do where it's like, we don't do that. We do that here. We don't scoop down to that level. We welcome everybody, and we might not like her, but we have to respect her. And it's like, it's only extended to, like, white people though, because, like, everyone is perfectly okay with shitting on black women with Ihan particularly. They're all okay with, like, AOC always being attacked. Like, you know, all of these, like, women of color that are in office, they're the most attacked, and no one ever, and I'm not saying they never get stood up for it, but not on the level that they extend to, like, white women like Hillary Clinton, who have done so much fucking damage, that are not even running for anything. Like, how are you even relevant right now? So
she didn't even go here.
She's never gone here. Like, why is she here? And
all she's done is lose for like all of the 2000s.
She's like embarrassing.
And you
like,
want to know something funny? Let's talk about something funny. You know what? You know what? You know what? Remember when she lost to mm-hmm. Obama in the mm-hmm. primary, and how racist her white supporters were yeah. against Obama, and it was like the whole like never Obama movement. And it's like how easy we fucking forget about that. But all of a sudden, this giant, you know, myth of the Bernie bro, which is like a racist erasure of like all the folks that are like actively campaigning for Bernie Sanders. Like, she uses respectability when it suits her, right? And not only Hillary Clinton, but the Democratic Party, right? Like, Ilhan Omar was being attacked because folks were, you know, misconstruing something she said as, you know, anti-Semitic. And all of a sudden, because instead of being like, you know, we will not accept Islamophobia here or and attacks against this and finding nuance in that, they were like, we will not accept anti-Semitism here. And it's like, no, there was nothing anti-Semitic. You're just like letting people reframe the conversation around like a tweet that Ilhan Omar made about like super PACs. And it's just like, it's upsetting. It's really... I don't blame people who don't want to get involved with electoral politics because of how shitty that is. Like, it's just shitty on all sides, and it's like, why get involved with that when nobody seems to have the moral ground here?
It's like the Democratic Party, as much as they want to talk about quote-unquote diversity, that doesn't mean shit. As much as they want to say that they understand marginalized communities and that they're the party for marginalized communities, like, it's all bullshit. And I think... we need to get past that, that the Democratic Party is going to save us, or that they've done something for us, or that they are, you know, and it's so hard. It's so hard to just even fuck with anybody in the Democratic Party, like, period.
It's also hard to express this to people about, like, how the Democratic Party is not going to save us, because a lot of people don't have a context for a politic or you know, a political ideology outside of that.
It is, and that's the thing that the Democrat, the electoral politics have set up so that, you know, you have, like, the good and the bad. And, of course, you're going to side with, we go back to, like, the lesser of two evils. And so you do see the Democratic Party as the good party, right? Like, the one that's not as terrible as the other one. And they kind of get it, and they're for you. And this is, like, what the Democratic Party wants us to believe. And they want us to keep voting for them and voting for them and voting for them. And nothing has happened. Like, they don't do anything. They don't give a shit. And yes, it's hard to break away from that. Because I think when I started break... like, it's weird because I don't feel like I was really ever into electoral politics. I just didn't vote. I did not care about any of it. But I guess... you know, if people were to ask, I'd be like, well, I guess I identify as Democratic because obviously I'm not a Republican, right? So that's like, if I'm not a Republican, then that automatically makes me a Democrat. And it's like you have to start unlearning like these things. And it's not easy. Obviously, you can't just go up to someone and be like, the Democratic Party is shit. Because a lot of people need to identify with something. Like, that's like, I think what I always get when they're like, well, if you're saying this is bad, then what's the solution, or what do you identify as, or then what is the right thing? And sometimes that's hard because you also, I don't know, like, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, this is the right, this is what I want you all to be, and this is what I feel like you should be. I don't, you know, I don't.
Yeah. And also coming out with like a label as like, you know, like, oh, and I'm not a Democrat, I'm an anarchist or a communist or a Marxist. Like,
yeah, that scares,
like,
people
immediately shut down, right? So, like, it's like a lose-lose situation in most cases. Yes,
and also because they're, and then we, on top of that, their ideas of communism and anarchism and anything else outside of just Democrat versus Republican is also just so negative. And so, you know, because we go back to the two-party system, like, that's the way the U.S. wants the U.S. to run. They don't, there's no room for anything else, you know? So it's hard to have those conversations, but I think just planting that seed, like, you have to start somewhere. Again, I don't want to go online and be like, you need to identify with, you know, anarchy or this or that or, you know, whatever. It's just like planting these seeds and letting people like explore that and think about that and have these conversations with other people, because that's really what's going to make you unpack all these things for yourself versus you just like going along with whatever someone else says, because then you end up in the same situation.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I like don't really identify with like publicly with like a lot of like political labels, is because like people are shut down, right? And you need to have what I think is more conducive to change is like actual conversations instead of like telling people this is how you think or whatever.
And so I think especially during election season is a perfect time to have all these conversations, or at least to spark these conversations past just vote for this person and this person sucks and like very basic, you know. I think around election season especially, it's very, for example, right now, the goal, right, like the Democratic goal is let's get Trump out of office. And so we're going to vote for literally whoever the fuck just to get Trump out of office, regardless of said person's policies, right? Like it could be like the worst person in the world, but we're going to vote for him as long as they're running as a Democrat, also known as Bloomberg, for example. So, which we're going to get into because, oh my gosh. But during election season, I feel like that's it. And that's like what Democrats do, where they're just like, we don't have time. We don't have time to have these discussions. We don't have time to be critical about these candidates. We don't have time right now. You know, the main goal is like get Trump out of office. And that was what it was last election season as well. And it's like, we're never going to get past anything, because that's, again, we go back to like electoral politics. It's always the vote for the lesser evil, and we don't have time to critique these candidates, and we don't have time to unpack anything. And when the Democratic candidate does win presidency, then it's like, oh, well, we should be happy. And no, we don't have time to critique this. We're all going to go home now. And it leaves, throughout this whole process, marginalized communities are always in the same situation. Like, yes, we could argue that some of these policies and some of these candidates are, quote unquote, better than, or the lesser evil, and they have less harmful policies, but it's not less harmful policies for all marginalized communities. There's still going to be marginalized people that are affected by these policies, and as long as it's not you, then people are okay with that.
Yep. You know, continuing the topic of Bloomberg, like he has somehow bought his way into and getting the, you know, the DNC or whomsoever to like change the rules about the qualifications for the debate, right? Because he didn't, when he first like qualified for the debate, he didn't have like enough like individual voters and shit. I mean, individual like donors and shit. And all of a sudden now he's like third place like polling because he's like buying commercials. Like you can't, like even if I turn on YouTube, like he comes on like in commercials and shit. Like it's wild. And he's essentially buying his way into this election, and he's also buying like people to basically co-sign him, right? Like recently there was like Isaac Mizrahi, who's like a designer, a big gay designer, who basically is like, Michael Bloomberg has been here for LGBT rights, meanwhile ignoring that like Bloomberg's like stop and frisk policies led to a lot of particularly trans women, black and brown trans women, being like arrested on like suspicions of like, they arrested them on suspicions of being sex workers, right? Mainly maybe because they, when they were stopped and frisked, they were discovered to have condoms or something like that, right? So when you say things like, oh, Michael Bloomberg was an ally to LGBT rights, what you're saying is like essentially he was an ally to like white, you know, gay people and lesbian people, right? All while ignoring queer and trans people of color. And so Michael Bloomberg has also been found to, like, essentially defend his stop-and-frisk policies back in the day, being like, you know, black and Latino men don't know how to act from ages 16 to 25. It's what his direct quote was, right? And somehow, in their fucking bigoted-ass minds, Democrats find it okay to, like, co-sign that? And to think that this man is, like, worth even a consideration as president, like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Like, you don't want, like, any actual change. You just want the person in charge to align with your, you know, your form of liberalism, of, like, capitalist gain, right? Because at the end of the day, like, both parties are invested in capitalism. It's just about what the face of that looks like.
when Bloomberg first came out that he was running for president, he was like nothing. Like, I'm like, okay, this is like, I think he announced it also like very far into compared to everyone else that I was just like, what's the point of you like announcing this now? But he was just like in the back, like, I don't even remember. So yeah, out of nowhere, like you said, he's just like, I don't know how many fucking Bloomberg commercials I saw just today. And my mom, she watches Spanish channels and they were in Spanish. Okay, so I'm just like, why? Like, this fucking guy's everywhere, during the Super Bowl, during the Oscars. I saw so many fucking Bloomberg, and it's the same one. And then now it's like one with President Obama. It's one with, like, I don't know if Obama endorsed him.
What?
Because that's pretty much what the commercial is kind of saying, the Spanish one at least. It's like him and President Obama work together to, like, yeah, like if President Obama, and then I don't know why I keep calling him President Obama. That's what it says on the commercial. That's how much I've watched it. But it's like Obama saying like all these nice things about Bloomberg. So I was like, did he endorse him, or did he take these quotes from like an old interview? I mean, regardless, it's like for a lot of, I think, Latinx folks, when they see Obama, to them, that's like a face that they're like, oh, Obama's friendly, right? Obviously, Obama was not friendly. He deported like more people than like Bush, but you know what I mean? It's that whole, the image that we have of Obama, you know, the good president, and he was the best president. He was nice and he was friendly, because I mean, generally he was, right? Like, he's like fucking Ellen DeGeneres, right? Like, nice person. But anyway, what I'm saying is, like, the Bloomberg ads, like, they're good, because like, for people that aren't that invested in politics, that don't know Bloomberg's history, when you see this ad, you're like, well, Obama likes him, you know, I think that makes him a good person, right? And so it's, aside from like all these ads, he was actually here in El Paso like a month ago, and it was before he, like, all these ads started popping up, and I thought that was weird, because I'm like, who is this? Like, not who is he, like, I know who he is, but like, why? It's just weird that out of nowhere he's. But aside from this stop and frisk, which is like, he's racist as fuck, and for people to try to deny that, because after all of these old videos surface, and it's another thing is, all these videos surfaced from like the whole stop and frisk of him defending it, and it's like, even without those videos, there are people that live in New York that would be able to just testify to that. You know, we don't need to see those videos, but the fact that there's these videos of him just being racist as fuck. There's one where he literally says that we should stop white people less, actually. And it's like, no one is stopping white people, first of all. And to say that we should actually stop them less than Black and Latinx folks is, it's like innate to me. Like, what? It's ridiculous. But aside from the stop and frisk and racist policies, he also has a lot of sexual assault allegations against him. And that's like something else that is like being overlooked, especially given that Trump also has similar stories, right? And everyone, of course, is outraged at that. But with Bloomberg, it's like the Democrats are real silent. And there's this one tweet that really made me, I'm going to read it to you all. It's by Mike Preisner, and it says, number of women accusing each candidate of sexual assault, sexual harassment, or inappropriate touching. Bloomberg, 64. Trump, 43. Biden, 8. All other candidates combined, 0. So that should just give you a picture. Oh, and the second tweet following that says, if Bloomberg paid each one of his 64 accusers $75 million in compensation, he'd still be one of the richest billionaires on earth. So not only is he obviously racist as fuck, he's also a predator, an abuser, a misogynist, and a billionaire, which is why he's number 3. And Democrats are okay with this. Like, the fact that some people are voting for him in primary is like, just, you might as well vote for Trump. Like, what? Bloomberg is another Trump. He's just running as a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that. Like, it's just people, again, having no politics. So they see like, the word Democrat, and they're like, okay, I'm voting for that. That's my guy. Oh, he's rich like Trump, too. Okay, he can win. And then that's it. That's where their research on this person ends, right? They believe the commercial, and they feel assured in their conversation instead of taking the moment to, like, actually research this person's past, right?
Yeah, so it's a lot of people don't research who these people are. And, you know, I don't also... Because I also understand, for example, a lot of people that don't have access to that. Like, it's hard to say people don't have access because, you know, we could be like, well, Google it, you know, do some information. I think, yes, if you are voting, we should all be very well-versed or be familiar with the candidate that we are voting for and what they stand for. But I also do think a lot of people, especially with marginalized communities, that these candidates have never actually reached out to. So, for example, like, with the Latinx vote, it's a lot of... pandering, right? A lot of like, let's speak Spanish, let's play Selena, let's, you know, talk about Abuelita Chocolate or whatever the fuck Hillary Clinton did that one time. But it's like, past that, no one engages because they're like, that's all I have to do to win the Latinx vote. I just have to, you know, do this brown face. I just have to speak Spanish. I just have to do like the bare fucking minimum. And unfortunately, like, our community, who's not used to ever having candidates actually go out into our communities and actually have conversations with us and not paint us all as one fucking group, you know, that has, that the only thing the Latinx community cares about is immigration, or the only thing that affects us, or in that immigration only affects Latinx communities, right? It's the bare minimum, and like, they use us at the same time to get them votes, right? But there's nothing actually, there's no connection to the Latinx community past that. So at the same time, yes, we do need to be informed, but I also understand how a lot of, especially older, you know, older people in the Latinx community don't, you know, they don't have that. They kind of just trust whoever they think is friendly and whoever is speaking Spanish, and it's fucked up. But I feel like that's also like a big reality. And of course, we could, I mean, always go deeper into that, because a lot of, if we're being real, a lot of Latinx households, I think, would side a lot more with conservative values if we're given, like, Catholicism and, you know, all that shit. But that's another conversation. But so I just wanted to say, yes, I think we should all be informed. But I think that we should also have these conversations with our family members and with our friends, versus just being like, oh, well, they should know, you know, like, they should be well aware of that. It's like, we need to have these conversations with our families, too, and make it... Sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's like you don't even know where to start. But we have to, I mean, we go back to the last election where, like, I don't know how many of us fucking voted for Trump and then Cruz. And I know right now we're talking about the Democratic Party, but it's just a lot of work that people, I mean, don't necessarily want to put a lot of effort to. And speaking of voting, of course, we already started. So we want to talk a little bit about the Iowa caucus that happened 3 weeks ago, I think. Could you give us a breakdown of that, Ruben?
It was a mess. They relied on some app to, like, tally the votes, which, like, why? Why are we relying on apps? Like, there's this thing called counting. And then they had this weird thing where, like, if people were not even, like, tied but very close, they would have to flip a coin for things, like, to get delegates. It was so bizarre. It's very much, like, indicative of, like, why we need to fucking cancel the Electoral College. Like, it's not working. Like, I don't even think it worked in colonial period. Are you killing me? Are you serious? Wait, are you killing me? That's not a saying. Are you serious?
It is like they're killing us, though, with this bullshit.
So, the Electoral College, essentially, like, instead of, like, it's set up so that instead of counting, like, individual votes, it counts, like, delegates per area. Like, every area is assigned, like, delegates. And the way that one politician broke it down recently is that, like, these were set up, like, they're racist in their very, like, existence. Because, for example, when they were first created... When the Electoral College was first created, they were created so that Black people wouldn't get a full vote, right? Because if we remember, like, back in the day, you know, after emancipation, like, black folks were only allowed like 3/5 of personhood. And so that was like the excuse in the South to like, you know, to support the Electoral College. And supposedly in the North, it was because they were getting a lot of white immigrants that they didn't want to like give rights to, right? Like they didn't want the Irish to have, you know, full personhood and things like that. It's a mix of like racism and classism, right? That persists today, because if we look at the Electoral College, like who has a full ass day to give up and go and like, because it's not like in California, or I don't know how it goes in El Paso, but in California, you just turn in a ballot like for the primary, right? But in Iowa, you essentially have to give up a whole work day to go run around in the gym and play four corners and essentially be counted. And like it looked like a very like big game of four corners. Like people were just like being
it's a joke.
Yeah, shimmied around.
Like the U.S. loves to go into other countries and meddle in their elections and be like, let us show you how to do this correctly, okay? Because you all need us to save you and show you the correct way to democracy. And it's like, if anybody saw this bullshit happening, and I'm sure people did on Twitter, they were probably like, what the hell is going on in the U.S.? Like, how is this real? It looked like a scene from Parks and fucking Recreation.
Straight up. Like, and then with the coin flips, I was like, what is happening? The coin flip?
Why? This is 2020. Why are we flipping coins? Oh, my God. I just cannot. Mm. It's just, like, such a fucking joke. Like, it's so fucking infuriating at the same time because, you know, okay, who supposedly was number one?
Pete Buttigieg.
At this, Pete Boot.
And it wasn't even by votes. It was, like, by delegates, right? So the way that delegates work is that, like, right? So in some towns, there was, like, people, like, lining up outside of the gym to vote for Bernie Sanders and, like, very few for the other candidates. But because of the way that the delegates work, it's that they take percentages, right? So sometimes it was better if you voted, your vote counted more if you were in a district that was less populated. Like, I'm not sure if I'm making any sense, but it makes sense to me in the way I'm explaining it. But essentially, it didn't matter how many people voted for a certain candidate, it mattered what the percentage in a district was. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you for breaking that down for everyone, Ruben. Because it confuses me too, like, because it's such a fucking mess. Like, it's so unnecessary that you're like, yes, so thank you for breaking that down. But you mentioned, yes, that they were using an app, right, to count, whatever. They were using this fucking app, and apparently Pete Boot, and I'm sorry, I don't know how you say his last name. I'm going to call him Boot.
Buttigieg.
Pete Boot. Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. They're going to say you're Buttigieg. Racist against white gays if you don't say it right.
Boot. Boot rat.
Pete Bootylicious.
Pete Bootylicious. Is that what you said? Yeah. I refuse to call him Bootylicious. He does not deserve that.
Pete Buttigieg.
But he put a lot of money into that fucking app, and it was just very convenient that he announced that he was the winner before the results were even in. He was like, thank you all, you know, like on Twitter. Like, the night before, it was just, and everyone was like, what?
Yeah, it was, like, less than 60% of the vote had been counted, and he had already, like, claimed being the winner. And it just reminds me of, like, that one time that Entertainment Tonight put out an article about, like, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello that said, like, you know, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello get steamy in their Senorita performance at the VMAs, but the VMAs hadn't happened yet, and it was just, like, pre-written, like, press releases. Right, and so in that similar way, like, Pete Buttigieg was already so sure because of his involvement with the app that he was going to win that he just announced it early. And, you know, that, and so the liberal media, like, ran with that for, like, a day or two. They were just like, Pete Buttigieg seems like he's taking the lead. Like, meanwhile, like, playing down, like, Bernie's win, like, especially when it comes to votes, right, because he won more individual votes. Anyway, the white gays were celebrating Pete Buttigieg's win very early, and they were like, regardless of what you think about Pete Buttigieg, like, a white, I mean, they didn't say white because they don't see color, a gay man won a state, a Democratic primary, and that means something. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean for my brown queer ass? What it mean for my little themlings of color? Like, what does it mean to us? Like, nothing. Like, you did, like, so, like, It has been said that, like, Pete Buttigieg is, like, the example of, like, how you can be gay and not be queer. Like, that homie canceled an event in, like, by, like, Brown University because there was a stripper pole in the bar.
Oh, my God. I saw that. And at first I thought it was, like, an Onion article. No. It's laughable. It's just, who are you? Are you even gay?
Like, oh, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I won't believe he's gay until I see that motherfucker bareback somebody. Like,
stop it. So let's, now that we're on this subject, can we talk a little bit about why everyone bareback fucking sex. Well, I know we know why, but everyone what? Hates fucking Bernie Sanders. Like, I wish the How Democratic Party would go as Sanders? Hard. I wish the Democratic Party would go as hard against Trump as they do Bernie Sanders, because they are quick to just block or talk shit about or throw Bernie Sanders under the bus. But with Trump, for these whole fucking 4 years, they're just like, let me rip up the speech.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Ruben. I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you saying about Bernie?
No, I was like, how did bareback sex take you to Bernie Sanders?
Wow. You know, one time I had asked on Twitter, I did a poll of which candidate people would bone. And a lot of these bitches said Bernie Sanders, and I knew it. I knew the DSA what? Bitches would bone him if they could. Not me, but that's the poll on Twitter. It was him against, like, I have to pull it up. I don't know. It was like Yang and Cory Booker. I don't know, but...
Oh my God, you know
these bitches out here love Bernie Sanders. So, hey, I saw Beto O'Rourke in a porn.
Oh my God, stop spreading that rumor.
Did you see the photos that I posted?
I did. It looked
like him. Don't tell me it didn't look like him.
A little bit.
It did. Okay.
What kind of porn are you watching? How old is he? He's like 40, so that's like 80s porn?
It did look like 80s porn, but it wasn't because it was him. I know it was him.
Oh my God.
Okay. Beside the point. Anyway.
This is getting cut.
Okay. So, what were we talking about?
I like how the media, like, you know, hates Bernie Sanders for some godforsaken reason. Like, I feel like liberals are spending more time attacking, like, this, like, myth of the Bernie bro and, like, Bernie Sanders himself than actual, like, Republicans and, like, actual Donald Trump. And so, to me, honestly, this whole, like, seeing the media, like, you know, trip over themselves to go against Bernie has really made me like, okay, like, if they're so scared of this old man, like, he must be saying something. And so honestly, like, it a little bit made me, you know, turn me onto his campaign. So I'm not endorsing anybody, but I am saying that, like, you know, I am gonna vote for him in the primary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I just it trips me out, I guess, but it's also, they're very shook about this whole, like, eat the rich class, so, like, a candidate talking about, like, capitalism in that way, like, they're like, no, we need capitalism. Like, they're not gonna say it outright, like, Elizabeth Warren, maybe.
Oh my God. But,
cause she's just, like, full, like, she loved, especially loves capitalism.
She loves capitalism. And let me tell you something, girl. Let me tell you something about the activists that she has paid to get on her campaign. Yeah.
Who?
And then the activists that have quit.
Oh, okay.
Because her, in Nevada specifically, because her campaign turned out to be a bunch of tokenism. Mm. Like, I won't name names, but one of them actually reached out to me to use my content in Elizabeth Warren-related material. And when I asked, like, is this going to be used for campaign purposes? Because I don't consent to that. And then B, like, are you paying me to, like, use my shit? Like, they went, like, quiet. Right? And it's somebody that, like, they're very respected in, like, activist circles. And that, like, it's just... Elizabeth Warren did something that Michael Bloomberg... I'm not saying that is the same kind of evil or, like, any lesser evil shit. But she also paid a lot of activists and a lot of people to, like, endorse her.
So... Bernie Sanders got these bitches shook, especially rich people. Rich people, they're like, let's not divide classes. I'm like, the classes are divided, first of all. But yes, no, I totally agree. And who else have we covered? I feel There's just so many. Oh, let's talk a little bit about Biden, which there's like nothing to say. So I was telling Ruben, it's so strange to me because I honestly thought that Biden would be the front runner. I was like very scared of that because like it's fucking Biden. He's trash. And the only like good thing about all of this, and I don't even know if it's good, but it's he's doing so bad in like the polls compared to, you know, Warren, Sanders, Pete Boot, DJ. Gay, whatever. It's just, it's wild because I honestly thought he was going to do just that. He was going to be it, you know? And so seeing him have like an 8% in the polls has been great. So we took that one down, but we still need to defeat the other evils. And who else is left? Oh, we're talking about this lady. What's her name? Amy Klobuchar? Okay. And I don't even know much about her. Like, I know, I hear her name and then I'm like, I don't know who you are.
I'm so confused as to how she got so ahead in the polls. I thought, like, especially after, like, that, I think it was, like, New York Times, like, expose came out on her and, like, the way she was treating her staff. Like, she was very, like, rude and like, bad to them to the point that, like, a lot of them quit and gave, basically their tell-alls to the New York Times. Like, I think that went, because she was not a non-factor, it, like, went under the radar. And somehow, like, she's in the front. Like, she's, like, top 3-4. I think sometimes she's even ahead of Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, it's weird. I don't know, but I don't know who she is. I'm like, who are you? Or, I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but right now on Twitter, someone shared like a video of her at the Culinary Union Forum, and she's saying, my name is Amy, but when I was in fourth grade Spanish, they gave me the name Elena. Hey. I'm like, okay. How?
Why would you say that?
Because this is how they connect with our community. I already told you. O'Rourke did it. Fucking Cory Booker did it, right? If I'm not mistaken. Pete has done it. I'm sure Hillary Clinton did it. Like, they just say, like, a few Spanish words, or they're like, My Spanish name is so-and-so. I'm like, how did you get Elena from Amy, bitch? Like, and then she didn't even say Elena. She said Elena. I'm like, so white. God. Like, no one. Or like,
when Hillary Clinton had the whole, like, abuelita campaign.
Oh, my gosh. That was the fucking worst. And people were actually calling Hillary Clinton their abuelita. Y'all are fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. And all this talk about, like, electoral politics, like, I also, like, don't want us to ignore the fact that, like, a lot of people can't fucking vote, like, straight up. Like, it's inaccessible, or they've been previously incarcerated, or the ID laws are just such that makes it impossible for them to, you know, to get to actually submit a ballot. It's just, it's such a fucking just maze, right? Like, I thought I was registered, and just, like, maybe, like, 2-3 weeks ago, I had, like, I had to double check, because my little sister asked, and I wasn't registered for some reason, even though I got my mail-in ballot for the 2018, like, midterm election. There's a lot of things like that. There's, like, you know, your polling place is, like, way too far from you, and no buses go there, or, like, straight up, like, when you get there, and you're in a wheelchair, like, there's no ramps for you to actually get to the voting place. So there's a lot of things like that. So I don't want folks to take this as like a, oh, like, this is the voting, you know, edition of Bitter Brown Fans, because it's really not. It's if anything, it's meant to hopefully get folks who make voting their only form of activism to, like, think, okay, how are we gonna, if this is the only issue that I want to partake in for some fucking reason, how am I gonna make sure that most people can actually get to a fucking polling place, right?
Yes, and even if you've been incarcerated, you're undocumented, you don't have a form of ID, you have to work, all of these other things, even if you just don't fucking want to vote, like, period, like, that's fucking valid as fuck, too. Because a lot of people, especially, again, during election season and afterwards, when the most evil candidate wins, it's very easy to blame non-voters instead of blaming the system, instead of blaming accessibility, instead of blaming people who actually voted for these terrible people. And so if you just don't believe in electoral politics, if you just don't even want to engage in that, that's also like, fucking okay. And because I also hate, you know, yes, there are many reasons why people cannot vote, but there's also reasons why a lot of people just don't want to. And I think that that should be respected as well.
Yeah, and, like, I'm voting and everything, and, like, but that isn't, like, you need to get out to vote. And, like, that is, you know, the form of activism, because it's, like, it's really not, like, voting is a one-time thing. It's not activism in any, to any extent, at least in my opinion. It is just something that you can do if you want to and if it's accessible to you, but that is not, in and of itself, political action. And I also understand that, you know, I am, you know, supporting Bernie Sanders because I think that, you know, he's going to be the most progressive, but that's still progressive in the United States. It's still, you know, imperialist abroad, right? So I am doing this with that full knowledge. I, you know, so I do have hope that we can, you know, push him left, right, as he used to be, right, when he used to support, like, Castro and shit like that. But I don't know what the reality of that is really going to be. And on that same topic of, like, you know, Bernie being progressive, like, if voting is going to be your thing and, you know, your family also votes, have a discussion with them about, like, why the commercials, you know, attack things like Medicare for All, or, like, why certain liberals think that, like, you know, free tuition is, like, this big boogeyman, you know. Explain to them that it's not in the interest of, like, of capitalist liberals to have things like, you know, free Medicare for people be a thing, because it affects their pockets, right? And explain to them that, like, you know, yes, you'll be paying a slightly higher taxes, but also you won't go into bankruptcy every time you need, like, surgery and shit like that, right? And things like that need to explain so that they're only so that their only frame of thinking about these issues is no longer, like, dictated by conservative and liberal media.
Yes. And on that note, I will be officially endorsing Bernie Sanders at his campaign on Saturday and asking him to come on Bitter Brown Femmes. I believe that on the podcast. No. Could you imagine if we had Bernie Sanders on here? Go ahead. Oh my God. Yes, so I don't know how to end. I thought we were going to transition from Pete to Doja Cat.
And actually, Bernie Sanders has the most support amongst the LGBTs, according to certain polls. Which is funny that none of us are, like, supporting the fellow gay, Pete Buttigieg, Edge of Glory. And it's funny also because, like, Pete recently spoke in San Francisco, and Queers Against Pete, an organization in San Francisco, protested his campaign. And his, like, Pete supporters were, like, homophobic. And then they were, like, we're gay, too. Like, what the fuck? But also, like, even if they were homophobic, like,
you know
queers can have a little homophobia as a treat.
They got points. Points were made.
Homophobia made some points.
Sometimes homophobia is right. It's on point.
Sometimes right. Homophobia aligns with my political agenda. You know who else is homophobic?
Tell us.
Doja Cat.
Just a little bit.
Just a little homophobic.
Just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. You know, she apologized. She said gay is okay.
I think that is all I need.
That was the apology.
I can continue to listen to her music freely.
without guilt.
Yeah. What? Like, all these other male artists, like, always say the wackest shit and, like, everybody's, like, okay with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Doja Cat says faggot a little bit and I'm supposed to cancel her?
I hate this conversation that we're actually having right now on this podcast. But I do stand Doja Cat. I'm sorry, y'all. I really like her, and I really like her music. And every time Ruben has asked me, what have you been listening to lately? And I'm like, Doja Cat. But I'm like, we can't play her, though, because people are going to cancel us. But you know what? Cancel us. If that's what you're going to hold against us, is our love for Doja Cat, then you know what? Cancel us now. Imagine everyone's like, okay, bye.
So the official tweet was, Set on August 28th, 2018, she was like, I called a couple people faggots when I was in high school in 2015. Does this mean I don't deserve support? I've said faggot roughly 15,000 times in my life. Does saying faggot mean you hate gay people? Do I hate gay people? I don't think I hate gay people. Gay is okay. So,
I hate that tweet. I hate it so much.
I think that you can say faggot 15,000 times. But as long as you say gay is okay, like, eventually, like, I think it's okay.
Okay. What we're trying to say is that we're going to end on Doja Cat today.
And we have no shame,
no remorse.
But also no defense. Like,
we have no defense at all. If you all want to have, like, a big, you know, this drawn-out conversation about it, you know, email us. Email us and let us know your thoughts. But as for right now, we have no defense, and we're just gonna end this episode on Doja Cat.
Yeah, and her single Boss Bitch from the Birds of Prey soundtrack, which you should go watch, because I was gonna say white women need support, but honestly, like, there's just so many women of color in that movie that...
Yes, I went to go see the movie actually because of they put Doja Cat on the soundtrack, so that's how invested I am in her. But it did make me want to go see the movie, and I don't really care about DC, and I've never seen Suicide Squad. Like, I would have never wanted to see that movie, but I went to go watch it, and I had a lot of fun. It was just a good time, you know? It was cute, it was funny, nothing... You know, it wasn't some political movie like, you know, the fucking Joker or whatever. It was just a fun movie, you know? Take your girls, go watch it, have some fun.
What was an overtly political movie that was like, okay, we get it, girl power? I was, like, drunk when I saw Captain Marvel, so I can't even tell you.
No, Captain Marvel was boring. It wasn't nothing. It was just boring.
I just remember getting to the theater and being like, lesbians, lesbians. And then my sister being like, shh.
Okay. Yeah. So go watch Birds of Prey. Anything else? Oh, we are going to be doing our first talk this year at NMSU, Las Cruces, New Mexico, on March 10th. So if you are in El Paso or Las Cruces, any you know where we're at. Hit us up at 6 o'clock, and we will keep posting the flyer on our social media so we can all see you there. We're looking forward to it because I haven't seen Ruben since it's been a year now, actually. And I'm very excited for him to be in El Paso for like 48 hours.
Yay!
And also for future reference, book us for your events on campus, for workshops, for lectures, for birthday parties, bachelorette parties,
quinceañeras. We'll do your vows with you.
Yes. Ruben or me could be the chambelán, whatever you prefer. We're just trying to...
Diversify our income.
Yes, we...
It is 2020.
We have talent. So, yes, keep us in mind. We are available year-round. We're available year round for all your needs. So the place to do that would be to email us, to get our information on social media, or just go to
bitterpreferencepodcast.com/bookings.
Hit us up, and if you're in Las Cruces or El Paso, March 10th, Ruben will be here, and we'll have an amazing time at NMSU. Any other things before we go?
I low-key wanted to have, like, something in El Paso, but I feel like we're going to be way too busy.
Yes, and I wanted to do that, too, but it's on a Tuesday. Again, you get here the day before, you leave the day after, and there's kind of no room to do that. So if you've ever wanted to meet Ruben, fellow El Pasoans, March 10th in Las Cruces is the only chance that you will get to do that. So, I mean, afterwards, you know, who knows? Maybe you'll see us out. You can buy us a drink. Waterburger. I'm taking Ruben to Waterburger.
Are we having Waterburger? Mm-hmm. What else are we having?
I don't know. I'm planning a whole day. It'll be a surprise.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We'll let you all know how that goes.
All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Now listen to the wonderful sounds of Doja Cat. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Bye. Yeah, ain't trying to be cool like you. Wobbling around in your high heel shoes. I'm clumsy, made friends with the floor. 2 for 1, you know a bitch by 4. And 2 left feet, you know I always drop. First thing a girl did was a bop. And the whole damn cake and the cherry on top. Shook up the bottom, made a good girl pop. You ain't even here to party. Ken in the club trying to pipe a Barbie. I don't